be the same again. I'm so grateful. The way this is going to work is I'm going to pray. We've already done a lot of prayer, but you can never get enough prayer. My wife is going to sing. After she sings, then we're going to do some scripture reading. And then Ed's going to come up, and he's going to give his testimony. And then I'm going to end up talking to you a little bit, and we'll let you go. And then afterwards, we're going to do a bike blessing. So if you have a motorcycle and you'd like to get it blessed, we'll pray for you. We've got special stickers for you, and we're just so glad everybody's here. And just to let you know that the money, thank you so much for we didn't know you were going to take an offering. Thank you so much for that. It is not for our coffee, honest. We're going to show you a film in a little bit, and it's going to show you what CMA is all about. And that offering will go for the ministry called Run for the Sun, which is CMA. And but it'll explain it to you on the video better than I can up here. So let's open up in prayer, or continue with prayer, I should say. And then my lovely wife, Lisa, is going to come up. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God, you have already showed what a wonderful and loving and kind and generous God you are, Lord. Thank you for touching these dear saints this morning already, Lord. Thank you for touching into their lives and speaking into their lives, God. May the word go deep in them, Lord Jesus, and not be plucked out, Lord God. May every lying devil be bound up, Lord Jesus. God, may you continue to minister to these precious people, Lord. Use us for your glory, God. We love you, Jesus, and we just thank you for today, Lord. For this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We still have the freedom to come out, Lord God, and preach boldly the name of Christ, Lord God. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that if we called and you answered, as you said, Lord. We just ask these things in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. This is my wife, Lisa.
Hello. In and out of situations, that tug of war at me. And all day long I struggle for the answers that I need. But when I come into His presence, and all my questions become clear, and for that sacred moment, no doubt can interfere in the presence of Jehovah God Almighty. Away and breathe His name.
And now the video. No. this video, this has a song. Somebody wrote this song, and it really speaks the heart of CMA. And it's only a couple minutes long. But you'll see it. Here it comes.
In a beach, God's purpose and the plan is to go to every nation and reach out to every man. We've chosen to be servants of a great and higher call as we give the praise and glory to the one who loves us all. We're an army full of soldiers who've been wounded in the past, but now we bear the banner of the cross upon our backs. No weapon formed against us will be able to prevail. We'll ride it straight to victory as we storm the gates of hell. We'll ride with passion, we'll ride with the wind. We'll carry in our hearts the only hope of every man. Through mountains and valleys, we'll ride until we come to the end of eternity. We'll ride for all the children who are broken by disease. We ride for every prisoner who's lost the will to leave. We ride to where the sons of darkness gather in the land. We ride to bring the light of hope and love to every man. We're riding for the soldiers who've given up their lives. All the lonely orphans who've now been left behind. We're riding for the freedom that's not the sweat of love. We're riding, 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 riding. We'll ride with the passion, we'll ride with the wind. We'll carry in our hearts the only hope for every man. Through mountains and valleys, we'll ride until we come to the end of the journey. To the end of the journey.
I hope it was as powerful for you guys as it is for us. It's very unfortunate that we're the ones now that have to speak after seeing that video. It means a lot to us, so it's very emotional. So I apologize for any hiccups. But the scriptures that we're going to read today are what was given to Ed at different variations by the Lord through his testimony. And at various points as he was going through the trials and tribulations that make up his testimony, these are the different scriptures that the Lord has led him to, you know, lean on him and have the faith that he will bring him through these. So the first three that I have are from the Proverbs. The first one being An Angry Man is the title. Proverbs 29:22. An angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression or sin. The second one is Proverbs 22:24. Make no friendship with an angry man, who with a furious man, and with a furious man, do not go. The last one that I have would be Proverbs 23, and it's a few verses. It's 30 to 32. It's the New King James Version, so it's a little bit wordy. But those who linger long time at wine, those who go in search of mixed wine, do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in a cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper.
And I will be reading Mark 8:38. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels.
Am I going to need a microphone, or can I just...
What a privilege to be here and speak for the Lord Jesus Christ, who I love today. And what I'm going to share with you is a very hurtful at times to me. It shares my life of what my life was, but I'm so glad of those dry bones that are dead today. And the biggest thing is what the Lord has done in my life and what he can do in anybody else's life. And I want you to think about this as I speak, where you're at today with the Lord Jesus Christ, where you need to be. And if you have people that are suffering, ones that are away from the Lord, keep praying for them. My mother prayed for me for 15 years. And it was her prayers of people that I know that brought me to the Lord. And it's the Holy Spirit that delivers us finally. But I'll start off as a child. I was 4 years old. It was probably my first time I took a drug or got high. I started snorting gasoline, smelling it, and I'd pass out in the garage. My parents found me. 4 years old, they said, "You're going to die doing this." So I stopped doing it. I was scared. I was only four. From there, I got into school. I was getting ready to go to school. And my parents told me that there was something they better tell me before I went to school, because they knew that somebody else would tell them. And they shared with me that I was adopted. My mother had died when I was born. And from that day on, I started blaming myself and God. I got very angry with God. I blamed him for taking my mother away from me. Not that I didn't have good parents, but my real mother was dead, you know. Why didn't he take me? I was a baby. I wouldn't have known. And it started an anger inside me that grew. And talk a little bit about this was the freedom. I ride a motorcycle to be free today. But all this led into something that I thought would free me, but it didn't. And you'll see that as I go. But when I went to school, of course, kids started busting me. My real name is Francis, and I switched it. My middle name's Edward, so I went by Ed. So I learned to fight pretty quick when people call me Francie and different things. So I got to be pretty good at that, defending myself. But when I was in fourth grade, the teacher stood me up in front of the whole class and told them that I was adopted. And from that day on, kids started saying that I didn't know my parents, I didn't have parents in this. You know, kids can be brutal. Our tongue can be very vicious with people. And we have to watch what we say. And something I want you to think about, it's like toothpaste. You know, once it comes out of your mouth, you can't put it back in. Okay, so think of it like a tube of toothpaste. So I got very angry, and I would fight and carry on. Well, I hated school after that. I didn't want to go. I couldn't see why I should be there. People were very mean to me. So I went on till about, I guess I was 15, and I started experimenting with drugs. Well, I thought that was what I needed. That was my freedom. Probably about 14 or 15 also, I went to the drive-in theater, and I saw a movie. It was called Hell's Angels. And I saw these tough guys on motorcycles. I started riding motorcycle probably when I was 5 years old with my uncle, my cousins. And I always rode on the back road with them. When I was 12, I got my first Harley, and I started riding it in the dirt, doing things. And when I went and saw this movie, The Hell's Angels, I wanted to be one, because these guys were big, they were tough, they were mean, they fought. And that's the way my life was. I was angry. They didn't like God, I didn't like God. Okay, I knew about God, but I thought God, and think about this, a lot of us that have accepted the Lord, we think everybody should understand that. Well, I thought God just picked certain people. Okay, I'm going to take you, I'm going to take you, you can be with me. Nah, you're over here, you know, you're not a good person. Well, I wasn't a good person because I was angry inside. And I'll be honest, I hated God. I cursed God. I hated him. I thought he was mean. Nobody ever took the time to sit down and explain to me the love of Jesus Christ and the love of God, what he has for us. Nobody took the time to say, hey, he doesn't hate you. It isn't him that does the bad things to you. Nobody took the time to say, let's pray and ask God to try to change you. Okay, I looked at religion as religion. Nobody took the time to tell me to get a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's my heart and him. Don't matter what everybody else thinks or says or does, the world. It's what your heart is with Jesus. But nobody took the time. So now I'm experimenting with drugs. And I don't mean just smoking pot. I mean I experimented with drugs. There probably isn't a drug out there that I didn't do. Now, I mix that with getting a big motorcycle, riding on the road, taking drugs, hating people, hating God, what I did. I'm going to share a few things I went through. I probably wrecked every car I owned up until the time I got saved. Drunken wrecks, I mean, not just fender benders, ripping fenders off, roofs off. I should have died, and I don't know how many car crashes. Today, I really believe that the Lord knew that I was... He didn't want me to go through all this, but as I did, that I would share it with people. Well, my mother was praying for me because she didn't think I was going to live to be 20, rather alone as old as I am now. So, but anyhow, I just thank the Lord. But as I wanted to be a biker, I did become a biker. I rode with some bad people, experimented with every drug out there, became a hardcore drug addict. I'm going to share a couple instances the Lord brought me through, and I don't know why he showed me this. A brother, the patch I wear today, I'm proud of, because it represents our Lord. Back in those days, just a leather jacket meant a lot more. One night, we went into a house, we knocked on the door, when it opened, we kicked it in. They'd stole a brother's jacket. We were in there, and we tore the place up, we're looking for a jacket. Pretty soon a guy come down, he's holding a 12-gauge shotgun. He's telling us that like that he was going to kill us. He poked the gun at me, and just as he pulled the trigger, it's not a brother really, that time he was, he just touched the shotgun and it blew a hole in the wall right beside me. That didn't even scare me. It didn't worry me. I didn't think anything about it. It was like one of those things, and some of the people there were like, they were shocked, and they just, that was the way my life was. One night, we were at a party, there was another club, and some things went down with motorcycles, and the next thing I know, I was on the ground, the guy had a .38 to the back of my head while four other guys kicked me in the face, kicked me all over, beat me pretty good. My own mother didn't recognize me the next day. My head had swelled up, my face. I don't know how I got through this. I do know now, but I didn't know then. And all through these things that were happening in my life, I hated God more. I hated myself more. I looked in the mirror and I hated myself. And I started taking so many drugs, just thinking that that would put me out of my misery, that it would feel something in my heart that was missing, and that was my mother, my real mother that I never knew. Just taking different things and trying to get to where I needed to be until a point that I was in a motorcycle wreck one day, and they tried to put me, when they took me in the operating room, they had to clean my arms up, some gravel in my arms and stuff. It was so bad. Of course, I tried treating myself all day. It didn't work. They couldn't put me under. The doctor kept saying to me, are you still with us? And I'm talking to him. I'm like, yeah, I'm here. Where do you expect me to go? You know, and he's like, they're trying to put me out. And my tolerance was so high for drugs and alcohol that they couldn't put me asleep. They couldn't put me out. Finally, they put me out. He came back to the room later on. And I thought it was a big joke. I was laughing about it. He said, I gave enough stuff to you to kill a horse. And he said, you're laying there talking to me. He says, you don't even realize how serious it was. Well, of course, I was thinking this is pretty funny that, you know, I was laying talking to a guy and I should have overdosed, died, or whatever. So I guess that's the time that right around the time I had first, I was married before. My wife had a baby. I didn't walk away from them. She left with my son. I couldn't stop taking drugs, and that was the whole deal. And I left them go because there was no, I just couldn't quit drugs. I cursed God more. I hated God more. I was with biker friends. We did things for the devil, and we told people that. I had two guys one day, I'll never forget it, we were standing in a circle, and I told the guys I was with, and I said, you know, we're right for the devil, and we're going to do it. They backed away. These are bikers. I mean, these aren't guys that, you know, just sweet little nothings. They backed up. They said, you are crazy. So you're totally insane, and I was. And we laughed about it. It was me and another guy, and we said, well, we're doing a good job of what we're doing, and we did. We probably another 5 to 8 years of wrecked cars, motorcycles, and drugs, or even more. It was night before my adopted parents, my mother's birthday. I'd asked God that I said, I don't want to live any longer. I don't have a desire to live. I hate myself when I look in the mirror. And I said, where am I heading? I said, this world is just, you know. And before that, though, I need to share with you that I thought hell was a place we were going to go to. And believe me, hell is very real. So is heaven. And I used to think hell was a party place. If you think it's like that, get the book 23 Minutes in Hell and read it. And I read it from cover to cover, and I'm not a reader. But it did scare me. But hell is real. But I thought that when I went to hell, because I knew that's where I was going. I was planning that whole deal. That's where I was going because God didn't like me. I didn't like God. And I was going to go to hell and party with all my friends, have the women, the drugs, the, you know, my brothers, who all was there. And that's what I had planned. And I took my gun. I carried a gun all the time. I had to. I kept a shotgun under my couch. I had a gun in my pocket. I wore a chain belt. I mean, fights, just weapons. And I took my gun one night on my nightstand. I put it in my mouth, cocked the hammer, and I said, God, I just want to die. You're mean. You don't like me. I don't want to live any longer. This is it. I would have done that on my mother's birthday, the night before her birthday. And as I was doing this, I was pretty high. I mean, I didn't do anything, and I wasn't stoned, not right in my mind. And I looked up, and all I could see was the Lord calling me toward Him. I woke up in the morning. My gun was laying on the nightstand, and I called my mother and father, and I said, take me to the hospital. I want to go into a detox. I got to get away from drugs and alcohol. So they took me to the hospital a lot of other times from other severe injuries, car wrecks, different things. And he took me to the hospital. The guy at the hospital said, you'll never make it after detox. He says, you're way too far gone. I had a priest one time tell me after my divorce that I was going to go straight to hell. There was no hope for me. I've had different people, and that's the religion part just blew my mind. I thought, well, you know, this is the way it is. But I went from the hospital. I went to a rehabilitation center, okay? I spent a week in detox. That was tough because I didn't think I was going to get through that. I had the DTs, and I shook and just trying to get away from all the different drugs. When I got into the rehabilitation center, I didn't think I was going to make it there. It was hard to get along because I still, you know, I don't have anything about long hair, beards, and everything, but I had them both. I was there. I didn't have my gun. I didn't have anything with me, but I still enjoyed fighting. And I had a guy, about the third day I was there, he looked at me, and he told me, he says, you look like hell. You need to get on your knees and pray to God. And I looked at him, and I thought, I should just come over there and show you what it's all about, because I would have tore him up. And I didn't. So, who's reading next? There's a scripture that goes with this, of the way my life changed.
First Peter, born again. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. John 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. A new creation, brand new in Christ. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all new things become new.
So this guy just told me I looked like hell and I needed to get on my knees and pray. And I'm thinking, if I'd have walked in a church, it would have collapsed. I'm thinking that God was going to, a bolt of lightning was just going to fry me, is what was going to happen. So that evening, after we did all of our stuff in the rehab, I went up to my room and I looked inside there, the big tough guy that I was, making sure nobody was in there. And then I looked behind me to make sure nobody was watching. And I walked in and I fell to my knees at my bed. I'll never forget this day. I said, "Lord Jesus, I don't know you. God, I think you're mean. I don't know you. But Lord, I didn't want to live. I don't want to live like this anymore, Lord. I'm going to turn this to you, and I need you to change my life." From that day on, my addiction was gone. He lifted the desire to do drugs away from me. The devil would tell me at times to go ahead and do one, that I could handle it. And I would bind him and say, "Yeah, I'm not doing it." But of course, back then it was 1 minute, 1 day, whatever I had to do to keep from doing that one. I didn't realize that it was our Lord doing this in my life. I wasn't just changed into the perfect person just by a like that. But he did take away. I had already given up my son, my wife, everything for drugs and alcohol. Now that I invited the Lord into my heart, he changed me. He took away the desire to do drugs. He took away the desire to drink. And he didn't take away the desire to ride motorcycles. I just thank him because that's where I'm the closest with him. But I did have to put the motorcycle away for a while. Because when I was on it and I heard the hard rock music, it had my mind playing games with me. And I had to get away from that. But it's been a walk with the Lord. He's still working on me. It's like Pastor said, you know, there's times I'll slow down the growth because I'll be doing something and I gotta get it fertilized again and say, "Lord, I need a little more growth here," or whatever. So I prayed for 3 years about getting another woman, and of course that's what it was then. And my wife, I call her my angel, my backbone. She prayed for 3 years. And we did meet, blind date, married in not very many months. Started going to church together. Our growth together has grown for 23 years now. 24. See, I was just checking you out. See how you do that? Hey, guys, you just test them. So, It's been good. I want to share some things with you that the Lord has done since I gave my life to Him. Is in 09, the big thing was, is that some of you may know, I was down with some brothers. We were praying. I was in CMA, and on the way home, I hit a deer with my motorcycle. Okay, I not only totaled my motorcycle, killed the deer, but I broke myself pretty bad. I remember that night, a guy had get me up off the road, and I'm up walking around trying to get my bike in neutral, and I'm telling him, "It's just a machine, it's okay." At one time, I would have been like, "Man, get that bike fixed," you know. I was wearing this vest, not this vest, that vest got damaged, but this patch means a good bit to us, you know, the praying hands, the Bible, because the Word of God is the truth. They're like, people in the ambulance got there said, "How could this? How could God let this happen to you?" And you talk about the Spirit. Hey, come on, man. I said, "God will never leave us or forsake us. God didn't do this to me." I said, "What we need to do is pray. Get me loaded up. Get me to where I can be fixed up or whatever, and let's pray." On the way to the hospital, I had my phone. Of course, everybody has a cell phone. I told the guy, I trained actually, the guy, one guy in the ambulance, his first aid and stuff. And I said to him, I says, "Here's my phone. Call these people." I said, "I want you to call my wife. I want you to call my brother John. Let him know that I hit a deer. I want CMA people, some people at the hospital to pray for me. I want you to be there, pray over me. Let my wife know." My wife and I actually, she was at home. We live back near Pittsburgh. She was with her mother. Her mother had a stroke, and we had prayed and decided for her to go home and help her mother. But I just thank God because she wasn't with me, because she always rides with me. Now, this is, I think, stuff from God. And on the way down to the hospital, I was hurting pretty bad. It was a slow ride because I was so broke and whatever. But when I got to the hospital, John and I, to be honest, I can't remember who all was around me, but the gurney or whatever they put you on was surrounded. People laid hands on me and prayed. One nurse says, "You can't do this." Our son and my daughter-in-law were there, and she's a nurse, and she said to the security guards, "You people shouldn't be doing this." She said, "Do you know patients' rights? He has a right to pray, and he has the right, and I just thank God in this country we can do that today." And we prayed, and they took me in and put me in that tube. And as they were putting me in there, I got about halfway. They stopped, brought me out, and I'm just laying there. And the one girl that was in training said, "We didn't finish him." And a lady says, "When you see what we saw, you're finished. He's going right into the OR. Well, I didn't realize that I was bleeding to death. My spleen was ruptured. I had 4 broken ribs, a punctured lung, and my shoulder was fractured. I knew my shoulder was broke because I was sort of walking crooked when I did get up. And they took me in. They were putting me in the operating room. And I want you to really think about this. It's hard for me to explain it. Is the surgeon, they cut my side, stuck a tube in for the blood to drain out. And they also took one of those other things that they catheter you with. And it was hurting, and the surgeon said to the guy trying to do it, "Give me that, because this man is going to die right in front of our eyes. He is bleeding to death rapidly." And he said, "He's going to die." And I'll never forget, this is the only arm that was working good. It wasn't even working good. I raised it over my head. I was laying down, and I said, "Lord, if I'm to come home with you, I am ready." And I had such a peace that I can't even explain it, because I knew that I knew that I knew if the Lord took me where I was going. I said, "But if not, Lord, I ask you to heal me." Well, I spent 3 days in ICU. Of course, you can see I made it. You know, some people say, "Did you make it?" Yeah, I did make it. When I come to, the first thing I can remember is our pastor was standing there, and he was praying with me. He was praying over me. And I can't remember everything I said. They had me on some pretty strong drugs, which was a concern of mine at that time, that I would go back into what I used to be. But 3 days after I was in ICU, they took me up. I think I went on trauma floor, and I praised the Lord. Todd and Lori, their church, sent a prayer blanket. I had 2 of them, and at night, I couldn't lay down. Broken ribs are painful. I would cover up with that, and I would just pray. And I started seeing some things, and I've shared with my brothers and sisters, and nurses would come in, and I'd pray for them. And I prayed with people, and it was like, "Lord, I thank you for giving me the ability to pray for people in my time. I was in a valley." I mean, and it wasn't a test, but God knew that I blamed him for all this bad stuff that happened in my life. And now I'm praising him through this motorcycle wreck that I almost died in. And the devil comes after us yet. And he's very much alive. He'll attack your mind if you let him. And we have to be aware of this. And every time I speak at a church or go somewhere and share my testimony, or John or any of us from CMA stand up for the Lord, the devil comes after us. He does not want us to share the power of God. He would rather have his lying, stinking lies corrupt our minds and change us. And we have to learn to bind him and chase him away from us. So pastors were praying over me one day. They come down a couple to visit me. And I actually had a vision. I've only shared a couple times with people. We were praying that the devil be bound and not try to lie to my mind. And I started in the hospital having questions. Every time I do this, you know, something bad happened. And as we were praying, I saw the Lord walking away from me on these clouds. And all he was saying was, follow me. Just keep following me. I have to share that with people. Keep directing your what your vision is or what you're seeing toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Even in bad times, praise him and worship him, and you will be strengthened. He strengthened me through the motorcycle wreck. Even after that, I closed a business. And I know it was bad. It's hard times. Everybody knows that. And another time was I laid on my face one day, and I just prayed. I was over the road driving truck for a while after closing my business, and was going to go back to that. And I asked the Lord. I said, I don't want to leave my wife. And I cried. I had tears running down my face, and I cried out to him, Lord, I don't want to leave. It was the day I was leaving to go pick up a truck to go back over the road. And the phone rang, and it was a place that I went for work, and they said, come work for us. And how I got there, a guy told me to go there. I went to the wrong place, and the guy said, we're looking for you, you know, looking for this. I mean, you talk about God things. You know, but what we need to do is focus on things that are happening in our life and look at the positive and look at where God's leading us. Take the time to listen. Do we always listen, or do we use our own man mind? I'm going to fix it. I'm going to do this. And when I do that, I get in trouble. But if I sit and listen for God, he always has led me and did good for me. And for somebody, what you got to think about, like I was, that hated the Lord, cursed God, didn't have any time for him to pray or thank him for anything, just curse him. When I asked for him into my life, he changed my whole life. I love the Lord Jesus Christ. He is my Savior. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He takes care of me daily, but I thank him every meal. Try to. And if I don't, I say, forgive the pig that started eating me before I thank you for his food, Lord. But he has provided for me. I went a year and a half without work. Somehow, some way, we had the money to pay most of our bills. We had people gave to us. People would say, the Lord laid this on my heart. And they'd give us and help us. And we got through it. And when I cried out to him with despair, Lord, Lord, please, I couldn't believe the phone rang. And the guy says, why don't you come over and work for us? Come get your drug test. I mean, it's over in by Tunkhannock, Wanda, but it's work. So thank you, Lord. I've been working there since. And everything is time and seasons. We have valleys. We have mountains. When you're on top, it's nice. When you get down in the valley, it can get a little rough going. But that's why I encourage people. This morning, the church service, the way it started, that was the Holy Spirit. That was God. He was moving. He's still moving. So think about my story, where my life was, what has happened to me, and how our gracious God, our Lord, saved me. How he took me from one of the worst people that you can even imagine and delivered me from hell. My mother prayed for over 15 years for me. She never could not believe it. now that I'm saved. So if you do have someone in your family, we all have loved ones that are out there, keep praying for them. Mothers, pray for your children. Fathers, pray for your children. Pray for one another. We could go on and on about prayer. We have a pretty strong prayer team, our CMA. The prayers that have been answered. I've seen miracles in front of my eyes of healings. And all we prayed for today, that somebody's heart would be touched. That there would be healings of souls. There's somebody that needs salvation. Don't be ashamed. Because your Lord will take care of you. He's my God. He's your God. He is such a gracious God. He is so good. Don't be afraid to come to Him and ask Him to help you. I'm not going to say it took years for me to get to where I'm at now, but it's step-by-step baby steps. It's like, you know, you don't start running up a ladder. You have to go rung by rung. You know, don't be ashamed. Get with a good church. I can't tell you what church to go to. The Holy Spirit will lead you. The Holy Spirit will guide you. When I got away from a church for a while when my business closed and was closing, and I was starting to get angry with God, one morning I said to my wife, let's go to a church. Because I got burnt by a church. I hate to say it, but, you know, men get to be men and whatever. And when I walked into the church I go to now, the hair on my neck just stood up. And I could feel the Spirit. And I knew I was home where I needed to be. My arms went up. I thanked the Lord again. I just started praising and worshiping Him. And I can't tell you what church to go to. I can't tell you what you need in your life. But I can tell you, if you get down and ask Jesus to help you, and you start reading the Word of God, if you don't like reading, get it on CD. Get hooked up. I will give you cards. Preacher man, my brother in Christ, he's a preacher now. We call him our chaplain, but he is a pastor. He'll be glad to pray with you. Tony, he comes to this church. He gets a hold of us and we pray. So I just want to encourage you, no matter how tough it is, how bad it is, to remember that Jesus Christ loves us. He's sitting at the right hand of our Father God for our intercessor prayer, that we just need to reach to Him. Praise Him and worship Him and ask Him for help. And don't let the devil discourage you. Bind the enemy. You've heard him being bound here today. Cast him from you. He must flee in the name of Jesus if we ask. It doesn't mean he's not going to try to slip back in, because he is the master of lies. And he wants us to go to hell. He's the only one that wants us to go to hell. Our Father doesn't want us to go to hell. That's why He sent Jesus. Because none of us could do it alone. And that's why I had to ask the Lord to be reborn. Be born of the Spirit. I'm going to turn this over to John now. And I want to thank you for listening to me. Just think of what I said, of where I was, and what the Lord did in my life. And don't quit praying for your loved ones. Prayer without ceasing. Right, Lisa? I'm going to ask my brothers and sisters to pray as John talks. And I want to thank you. May the Lord God bless you.
Why don't we all stand up for a second? Stretch your arms out without knocking your neighbor over. Let's just close our eyes and maybe sing this little song to the Lord. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Tell them, Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome here. You are welcome here, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Thank you, dear God. All praise your name, Lord. Merciful Father. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name, Lord. Thank you. You may be seated. I once heard it said, in fact, it wasn't very long ago, that a good sermon doesn't need to be long, and a bad sermon definitely shouldn't be long. So either way, you're going to get something short here. I know it's been quite a while, and you've been very attentive. And, you know, you're looking at a man over there whose life was very, very hard, and he went through hell. There's no other way to put it, because the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's exactly what he tried to do to this man. I won't do it today, but I did it the other day. I called his wife up. You know what? She was a good girl. She didn't do the things that he did. But you know what? She was just as lost. So maybe today you're not, I never did drugs. I never drank. I never slept around. I never. But if you don't have Jesus, you're just as lost, and you'd be heading to the same hell. And we don't want that. If you're following with me today, I'm going to be reading in the book of Joshua. And I'm going to be looking at chapter 7. And like I said, I'm not going to be real long. I'm going to try to hit a few high points that I believe the Lord gave me. And I'm just going to give you just a little tiny bit of background here. Moses, he was in Egypt. And there was maybe a million, up to 3 million people there that were Jews. Men, women, and children. And God said, I want them out of Egypt, and I'm going to bring them to the promised land. And they got to the promised land, and they didn't obey the Lord. And he said, okay, you're going to wander around the desert for 40 years. I'm going to wipe out this generation, and I'm going to raise up a new generation. And that's exactly what he did. Now the new generation is being led by Joshua. Moses had passed on. We know he did all right because in the New Testament, we see him appearing on the mountain with Jesus. That's another story, another sermon. But Moses is good. We'll see him in heaven. And now Joshua has risen up. And they've already beaten down one city, and they're taking the promised land. God sent them over there and said, you're going to go take this land. I'm going to give it to you. And you need to seek me and listen to me. And here's where we're going to pick up. Now, in this story, there's a man named Achan, and Achan was told specifically, when you go and you go into this city, don't touch a single thing. I don't care what it is. Don't take anything. And he didn't listen. And he stole some things. We'll read about that in a minute. Now, Joshua and the rest of the Jewish people, they didn't know. They didn't know that Achan did this. So they were in trouble because God was angry. He was not happy with the situation, and he wasn't going to let it go. He was going to rectify it. Okay? And here's what happened. It says in chapter 7, verse 1, but the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, and of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Avon on the east side of Beth Ai, all these weird names. And he spoke to them, saying, go up and spy out the country. So they went up and they spied out Ai. Okay, they're out there. They're looking at the city. They're looking. They want to look at the fortifications and things like that. And they returned to Joshua and they said, do not let all the people go up, but only about 2,000 or 3,000 go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people, for the people of Ai are few. First point I want to share with you. Every single person that is a Christian needs to be in the battle. There is no sitting down and resting on your laurels. It is a battle that we are in. First of all, they didn't seek the Lord. They just said, we can take this city. We don't really need to pray. We don't really need to seek God. It's a little thing. But the Lord says this, my brothers and my sisters, and I'm speaking to myself. We need to constantly pray. Every day we need to seek God. We need His counsel. Otherwise, we're going on our own thinking. Kind of what Brother Ed was saying. confirmation to what the Lord was sharing with you today. We need to be in the battle. I really don't need to pay my tithe. I know brother so-and-so and sisters, they're faithful. They pay their tithe. I'm going to buy a motorcycle with mine. Wrong answer. We need to constantly give our tithe and think of it as actually an honor to give our tithe. We're just giving back a small portion. And he owns it all anyway. But I find that when I give to him, I can't outgive him. He always, 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 if people say to me, how do you get these deals? He saves me so much money, I could never even try to give out to him. I mean, my gosh, it's such an honor. But we need to constantly be praying, brothers and sisters. We need to know we all need to be in the fight. We need to all be given. We need to all support the pastor in your church. Wherever you go, maybe this isn't your church, go up to the pastor, say, here I am, sign me up, I'm ready. I want to get in the battle. I don't want to be left behind. Amen? Okay. Now, let me turn to my notes here a second so I can follow myself. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Now, verse 7, it says, and Joshua said, oh, okay. Well, first of all, the people went out and they fought. And they lost. They lost. They took their 2,000 or 3,000 people and they lost. Not only did they lose, 36 men were killed. When we're not following the Lord, when we're not doing what we're supposed to do, people get hurt, including ourselves. Their hearts became like water, it says. They lost that courage. They lost that faithfulness that, yes, I can do this in God. That's why we need to stay plugged in. That's why we need to stay in the battle. That's why we need to stay doing what the Lord has showed us to do so that we don't lose heart. So Joshua, here he is. He goes, oh, Lord God, why have you brought us this people over the Jordan River? They had to go over the Jordan to go into the promised land. He's like, if only we would have stayed on the other side. Why'd you bring us here to destroy us? Let me share with you. God, this is what I know. God has called each one of us to walk day by day with the Holy Spirit. God has called you to whatever you're doing in your life. And when it gets hard, and when you don't understand, and when it gets dark, and when the valley comes, that's not the time to doubt. That's the time to put down your feet and say, God called me to do this, and I'm going to do it no matter how I feel, no matter what I think. If I know the Lord's called me to do this, well, I'm going to do it no matter what. Put your feet down and stand. But Joshua was going, oh, Lord, if we would have stayed on the other side of the Jordan, we could have lived there peacefully, no problems. But God didn't call him on the other side of Jordan. He said, go take the promised land. So, now the Lord speaks back. And the Lord said in verse 10, so the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why are you lying on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have transgressed my covenant I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed things, and they have stolen, they deceived. And they also have put it amongst their stuff. So the Lord saw what Achan did. Nobody else did, but the Lord knew. Now, to move the story along, because like I said, it's going to be short, and it is. Joshua said, okay, Lord, who did this? And the Lord showed him very clearly, exactly. He knew exactly where Achan was. And he kept whittling it down, family by family, and he said, Achan, what did you do? And he said, when I went, I did covet, I did desire, I had to have this stuff. And he took a Babylonian garment. Now, I want to ask you something. Where was he going to wear that? Where is he going to wear that? And what about you and I, some of the things that we want? What are we really going to do with it? Is it going to glorify God? going to glorify us, glorify the devil. He saw silver and gold. Had to have it right then. You know what's really sad? The next city, God said, you can have everything. But he wouldn't wait. He had to have it now. It's mine. I see it. So he took the stuff, put it in his tent, dug a hole, and he buried it in there. Covered it up. What's the word of God say? Your secret sin shall find you out. And surely it did. Where they called Achan forward, and they said, what did you do? And he had to confess it in front of everybody. This is what I did. And they ran into his tent, and they undug it, and they brought it out. Achan didn't know how far the sin would take him. It took him much, much further than what he ever thought. Just like Ed. Ed started out with drugs a little bit, this and that. I can handle it. Started out running around. I can handle it. You can't handle it. Sin will take you much further than you want to go. Time-consuming a little bit. I'm not reading every one of the verses. I'm telling you what it says. You check it out yourself. You should always check out the scriptures yourself. Joshua chapter 7. They took his sons. They took his daughters. They took his donkeys, his sheep. They took his tent, which was his house. They took everything. And they said, you have troubled Israel. Remember, 36 men died because of this man. 36 men who probably had wives and children. Lives were destroyed. And now his own sons and his own daughters, because he desired the things of the world, they took him and all his family and all his possessions, and they took stones and they stoned him to death. And then they burned them with fire, and then they piled a great big heaping stones on top of them. And the sin was wiped out. Now, my brother and my sister, this is to be an encouraging message, not a condemnation message. I don't know where each one of you are here. I don't know. Maybe you're in the battle and you're like, that's cool. I'm in the battle. I'm doing good. Praise God. I thank God for you, because that's where we should be. Maybe some of you are like, you know, I really need to brush up on my prayer. I really need to get back into the Word. Then this is for you today. Maybe some of you are struggling with, you want some of the things of the world. You think that the things of the world are going to bring you joy. Well, it says in Galatians chapter 6 that, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he shall reap. For if he sows to the flesh, he shall reap corruption or death. But if he sows to the Spirit, he will reap eternal life. What is that sowing about? What I'm talking about, if I took a handful of seeds and I throw them on the ground, on good soil, they'll produce whatever I throw out there. Well, every one of us, as far as I can tell, we're all going to die sooner or later. Everybody that's born has died, and you and I, someday, this flesh is going to leave. So if you throw seeds on this flesh, it's going to die. It's going to die. Right? It's got to. Even Jesus' flesh on the cross died. But the Spirit, if we take that seed and we throw it to the Spirit and say, Lord, who do you want me to pray for? Where do you want me to go? Where do you want me to serve? What do you want me to do? I am your servant. Then you're sowing to the Holy Spirit, and you will reap. That means gather the harvest, eternal life. That's what the Lord wants for you today. That's what the Lord wants for me today. God's plan is to have you in heaven with Him, every one of us in this room. He wants you in heaven with Him. He loves you. The Word of God says, I love you. And if you don't believe the word, then you're saying you're above the word. Let me tell you exactly how it happened a long, long time ago. The devil came and said to Eve, "Did God say you can't touch or eat from every tree?" And Eve says, "Oh yes, we can eat from all the trees, but we can't touch from the tree of knowledge of good and evil." And the devil, because in the day that we touch it, we will die. And the devil says, "You will not die. God's a liar," is basically what he's saying. And it says, Eve looked. She saw that it was good food, make you wise. She took it. She ate it. And she spiritually died. And then she gave to her husband. He spiritually died instantaneously. And then they hid. Achan looked. He took it. And then he hid it. Same devil, same lie, same thing for you and I. The devil wants to kill, steal, and destroy every good thing in your life. Today I say, enough. Today I say, Lord, I want to surrender to you in every area of my life. Because every area that you give him, you will find joy deeper than you've ever known before. Whether you're younger people, whether you're older people. Little tongue-in-cheek there. No matter what age you are, I gave my life to God when I was 18. He has never, ever failed me. I've failed him, but he's never failed me. I'm going to sing a little song for you. It's actually my testimony, pretty much. And I don't have music for it because I'm a procrastinator. A friend of mine, I got this tape from him some years back. And I used to sing this song, you know, driving in my car with my tape player and this and that. And I always keep thinking, Pastor George, I got to get this made into a CD. And then I got to take a step further and get the words kind of wiped out so it's just music. And I've procrastinated. So you're going to have to hear it a cappella here. But you know what? If I hit the note right, I don't hit the note. You're not going to know anyway. But unless it's really bad, it might be. But hear the words. Hear the words. We think about the Lord. Because this is, oh, God is so good. Thank you, God. Now and then, an old friend of mine I've not seen for some time will stop by and ask me where have I been, what's on my mind, and wonder why I'm not drinking and still painting this old town red. I tell him I'm serving Jesus now, and the old man is dead. And the man you see before you may look a lot the same. I may wear the same clothes and have the same old name. You're looking on the outside. If you could see inside instead, you would see a brand new man. For the old man is dead. Thank God. I used to live such a wicked life. I had no hope in sight. I was lost and dying, searching for the light. And then one night in a little church, after hearing what the preacher said, I gave my life to Jesus, and the old man is dead. And the man you see before you may look a lot the same. And I may wear the same clothes and have the same old name. But you're looking on the outside. If you could see inside instead, you would see a brand new man. But the old man is dead. Thank you, God. I ask you right now, would you close your eyes? It's now between you and Jesus. Nobody looking around. If you don't know my Savior today, if you were to stand in front of Jesus today and he'd say to you, why should I let you come into heaven? Would you tell him you're religious, you're a good person, you've done good works, you go to church? None of those things will get you into heaven. For unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If you want my Jesus today, he wants you. He loves you. And he longs for you to be with him. All it takes is a prayer from your deepest heart to say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I'll give you the rest of my life. Come into my heart and I'll live for you. I believe you died on a cross and I believe you rose from the dead on the third day. If that's your prayer today, if that's what you want today, you feel it in your heart, God's calling you, then you raise your hand to him today. I'm the only one watching. If that's you today, on the count of three, you raise your hand and say, Lord, today I surrender my life. One. Come on. He's speaking to you. Two. And three. Anybody here giving their heart to the Lord? I also want to ask you today, maybe things aren't quite right between you and the Lord. Maybe some of the things you've heard today through the testimony, through the sermon, through just the presence of our precious Lord. And you're like, Lord, I want to rededicate my life. I want a deeper walk with you. If that's you today, would you raise your hand along with mine and say, God, I want a deeper walk with you. I want to grow closer to you and stronger with you. I want to be that servant that you've called me to be. Hands all over the room. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God is faithful, friends. God is faithful, my brothers and my sisters. I didn't see someone raise hands for salvation, Pastor George, but I saw people raise hands and want to walk closer with the Lord. I want you to know today that Pastor George will be here. We're leaving, but Pastor George will be here this week, God willing, next week, and the next week. And maybe you're like, I'm not quite ready, John. I'm not quite ready to give my heart to the Lord. Will you come and you pray with him or Mary Lee? And they'll be happy to lead you to Jesus because they love you. And Jesus loves you. And I thank God. Let's all stand up. Let's all stand up. God's so faithful. Let's just say a prayer here. And remember, afterwards, we're going to be in the parking lot. We'd love to pray with you and your motorcycles. And we're also going on an ice cream run because our road captain loves ice cream. But let's thank the Lord for being here. And Jesus, you're just so faithful and so wonderful, God. And I thank you, Lord, for each person that you have touched today, Lord. May you draw them close to yourself, Lord. God, may today make a difference, Lord. May today that they'll be like, God, they just want to serve you in a deeper way, Lord. Jesus, because as we sow to the Spirit, we know that that is the only way to eternal life, God. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for so great a salvation, Lord. Thank you for today. Thank you for your tender mercies, Lord. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning, God. Thank you that we can always come to you and call upon you and you hear us, Lord. And you're always ready with arms wide open to forgive us and give us a new life, God. Thank you, Jesus. We love you and we praise you in the precious name of Jesus. I'm giving this back to Pastor George and whatever else the Lord leads him to do.
Thank you, Brother John. Hallelujah. Before we go outside, Before we go outside, if anyone here needs prayer in the building before you go out for the bike blessing, I'm sure the brothers and sisters would love to help you out over here.